Anna Fraser of The Peak. Good morning.
Hello, hello.
So The Peak is putting out its special disability issue this week. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, that's right. This week's issues are Disability Pride issue, as July is Disability Pride Month, a time to celebrate people with disabilities and learn about what people with disabilities have to say about what disability pride means to them. We at The Peak are so happy to be able to share these stories about disability pride in this week's issue, especially as some of our writers have disabilities, and we're able to share really authentic perspectives this week with us.
That's great. And all the stories you're featuring this week are focusing on issues of ability and disability.
Mm-hmm,
so tell me about, yeah.
Yeah, so one of them is a features piece, a long-form features piece from our opinions editor, Olivia Visser. It's titled, I'm Proud of My Mobility Aids. And Visser writes that disability pride for her is, quote, disability pride for her, quote, looks like practicing self-love by embracing her mobility aids, and that sometimes pride is a process and it's not always easy. I really like this one excerpt from the piece. It reads, I'd be lying if I said it's always been easy to feel pride about my disabilities. What is there to be proud of? Chronic pain, debilitating fatigue. I don't personally feel like my disabilities define me as a person, but they're a huge part of who I am. And while I'm not a big fan of calling disabled people brave for surviving within their circumstances, I'm proud of myself for what I continually overcome. To deny space in my identity for my disabilities would be to deny an entire part of myself. Disability pride is the joy of being unapologetically yourself, disability and all. And that's from the fourth last paragraph of this piece.
Great. And who's the writer again?
Olivia Visser. She's our opinions editor.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what's the next story you're featuring?
So another piece in this week's issue around disability pride is a really fun arts and culture piece by Izzy Chung, who's our arts and culture editor. It's titled Disabled Drag Queens on Coast Salish Territories. The article showcases five different drag superstars who, quote, showcase the intersections between art, disability, and queerness. And the queens featured are Peaches and Screams, Lavender Flame, Dyslexia, Carly Hart, and Boy Gorgeous. And an SFU artist, Den Kennedy, illustrated each of the queens in a really adorable way for the piece as well.
Excellent. A nice crossover between disability pride and queer pride.
Yeah, of course. And that's our issue next week.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
And your the final feature for this week?
Yeah, so the final feature is a humor one. It's from our staff writer, Haley Miller. Excuse my language, but it's titled, Shit People Say to My Disabled Ass. And Miller writes in the introduction of the piece that, quote, as someone who was born disabled, nothing makes me cackle more than the ridiculous remarks of arrogance that grace my everyday life. Happy Disability Pride Month, whether you celebrate it or not. I frankly never give it much thought. I do, however, love a good statement that keeps human decency more off kilter than my Humpty Dumpty balance. And, unquote, discussing disability pride from a more serious perspective is great, but also adding some humor into these discussions, which I think we do a lot at The Peak, mm-hmm. is just as valuable as well. It helps readers approach these issues that they might be scared to approach or don't know too much about in a more easy way. So we're glad to be featuring this piece as well.
Yeah, that sounds like an article that is both humorous but dark as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, one of the things she features here. So one of the sayings is, have you tried eating organic to cure yourself, is one of the things she's been told. And she says, someone clearly didn't pass organic chemistry. As a vegetarian of nearly 20 years, I've eaten organic almost every day. If you think eating a single organic vegetable is going to do the trick, please. So she adds a lot of these different things that people have told her in the article.
I can only imagine people with disabilities encounter a lot of ridiculous stuff that's said mm-hmm. to them.
Definitely, yeah.
And you know, I mean, it's great that she can laugh it off here
mm-hmm.
And approach with some humor, but I'm sure it's not always something that's funny.
Definitely, yeah. And that's more seriously talked about in that first opinions piece by yeah. Olivia Visser. She gives this one anecdote where she was just walking somewhere, I think downtown, and then this couple behind her started just sort of whispering about how they had this one disabled friend, and they thought the disabled friend was like faking their disability, and you know, that's obviously no good to hear, and for her to just be walking and minding her own business, and yeah, to hear that is just no good. So yeah, Olivia takes a more serious perspective on those sort of things.
Yeah, well, it's good to focus on these issues because we've come a long way in recent decades on mm-hmm. this issue and many others. But as an issue like this, and some of these perspectives and even testimonies, you could sort of say, show it. We still have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Excellent. Well, thanks for bringing those in. The new issue is out live now.
Mm-hmm.
How do people find it?
So you can read all of our weekly stories online at the-peak.ca and view our full digital issue all at once at issuu.com/peaksfu.
Great. Thanks for coming in. You'll be back next week to talk about your Pride issue.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in. Hannah Fraser of The Peak. One more issue this summer, and then you'll be returning in the fall when the Peak will be hitting the newsstands with physical copies again.
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. All right. Thanks so much, Hannah, for joining us today. And once more, what's the way to find The Peak online?
Yeah, so you can follow us at the-peak.ca for our weekly stories, and also view our full digital issue all at once at issuu.com/peaksfu.
Great. Thanks so much. See you next week.
Thank you. See you.
All right. Up now is something new from English band The Fall. They've been kicking around since the 80s with leader Marky Smith. This is a new release from them, from a live album called States, and this track is called Middlemass. The Fall from their recently released live album States. This is Middlemass. And now it's time for our regular feature, Gardening with Embark, with Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society. Welcome to Gardening with Embark with Pablo Vimas.
Hi.
Welcome, Pablo.
Hi, good morning. Nice to be here.
Pablo is the gardens manager at Embark Sustainability Society here in the Student Union. They are our neighbor right across the hall. We've been talking to Pablo every week about what you need to be thinking about in your garden.
That's right, yes. So let's jump. We are in week 29. Oh, it's going very fast.
It is.
The weather, yes, it's nice, dry. And it brings lots of things to the garden. So this week we have in the garden the silks and tassels. The corn is on flower. Yeah, so when we plant corn, as you notice in our garden beds, we have plots 4 feet by 4 feet, mm-hmm. very small. So we tend to plant the wall plot with corn.
And that sort of arrangement, that as a chunk of it, is really important.
Correct, yes, because in the farm, we grow a full lot of corn, and the corn pollinates through wind.
Mm-hmm.
So in our small little plot, we need to make sure that the pollen that the plant produce falls into the silks.
Right.
So that is very important. So when in small gardens like ours, clamp all the corn together, and then we manually pollinate the silk. So which means we cut the tassels, mm-hmm. which are full of pollen, and shake those pollen on top of the silks. So that is going one by one. Some plants have 2 to 3 ears, cone ears, that needs to be pollinated. So right. it takes a bit of time. So the
silks. Like when we eat the corn, we have a cob and we pull all the mm-hmm. the other leaves off, and there's all those threads in there. Those are the silks.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's when we pull all the leaves off. When it's all still on the plant, what does it look like?
Okay. Yeah. So when you have your plant, you have the cobs of corn, which we call ears.
Yeah. Okay.
So those ears, we have 2 or 3 in a plant.
Yeah.
And those little, they are kind of bumps in the at the base of a leaf, and we just can see some silks, green silks, mm-hmm. popping out.
Yeah.
So those ones need to be pollinated. So each of those silks are linked to one kernel.
Oh wow!
So that is important that we pollinate all the silks. So all we have a cob full of kernels.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that's the reason why we have a cob. And what is people looking in the market is peeling the cobs, the ears of corn, just to see if there is any gap in there,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want gap. But in our gardening, that is very small. We try to ensure that all the kernels are, the other silks are pollinated, and therefore we have kernels.
Right. So how do you make sure you're getting at all the silks? Do you just shake it off and cover it really well?
Yes, shake it off the tassels. But again, the pollen is just so tiny, and any wind will take it all away.
Yeah.
So we just cut a bit of the tassel and shake on top of the silks. Yeah, that's time consuming, I would say, as well enjoyable, because you cannot rush.
Mm-hmm.
So you go there, pair of scissors, cut, shake it on top of each tassel, and then you are looking to hoping that your job is well done, and you will enjoy later that cup of corn, like, oh yes, I did my job very well.
Right, you say it's time consuming, but obviously it's very, very important, because with such a small plot, you can't just count on the wind to give you the coverage you're really looking for.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. And that's so in the if you have a farm, most of the farm
has
big field. Yeah, all the wind will pollinate, and you're sure that you will have a good cup of corn. Yeah.
What else are we worrying about in the garden this week?
Yes, at the moment we see plants like our cabbages that we've been keeping, hoping they make a head. Suddenly the leaves are turning silver.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not a green, bright green or dark green. They're turning into a silver shade. So it means that the plant is old enough. and now we just need to harvest whatever size of the cabbage you have in the cup. Right. Sometimes we might have a nice head, small head, but sometimes we have nothing. But the leaves itself is telling, I'm silver, I'm time to move on.
Graham, we're also tending to our basil plants and making sure that they are producing leaves.
Yes. So basil, with this weather, it went nice into flowers. But again, when a plant turns into flowers, all the effort goes into making seeds. And from the basil, what we need is leaves. So now we need to trick the plant by pinching the flowers, trick the plant saying, oh, you have to do all to redo your seed process again. So, and we encourage the plant to put a bit more leaves and extend the life cycle of the plant. So it's,
and I guess conversely, we have some plants that are actually producing fruit. Like I noticed I have some little pepper plants. And in that case, the fruit is actually coming out of the flowers.
Correct.
So we need to. We don't want to take get rid of those flowers.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So there's other most of the fruit vegetables, like the peppers and tomatoes, they're fruit vegetables. We need to look after the flowers.
Yeah.
And once we see the tiny little flower turning into a fruit, we need to keep watering more constantly because now the water is being moved into the fruits, and we want to have juicy, nice tomatoes and nice crunchy peppers or chili peppers. So we need to keep constant with watering. So watering becomes very important during the fruit production.
Right. And our beans are also starting to come up this week.
Yes, the beans, they are coming up. And again, as I say, watering is very important, but if you recall, weeks back, we were talking about watering the soil, not the plants. You had to keep doing that. I know that it's hot, and we think, like, if I spray a bit of water, it's refreshing the plants. Well, not necessarily. There are, for instance, the beans, they don't like water on the leaves. And that somehow stops the production of flowers. No flowers, no fruits, no fruits, no beans. So don't water the leaves.
Right.
All right. So keep the leaves dry. With tomato doesn't like water on the leaves because it can create an environment that the tomato blight develops. And then we have tomato leaves getting sick, getting brown. And no leaves, no photosynthesis, no sugars, no food for the plant. So we are starving the plant, and the production of fruits will be very low. So again, keep watering the soil,
right.
No the leaves.
So we want to be walking around through the garden with our hose or our can, getting right at each plant rather than sort of standing back and sort of spraying the garden.
Correct, yes. Yeah, so watering is active task. You walk through the garden watering the soil around the plant rather than being static and trying to simulate that you are a sprinkler and spraying everything.
Right.
So that's not for beans and not for tomatoes. So that we prevent having diseases in the garden.
Excellent. And we're getting into the hot season, so we do need to water often.
Yes. Please water often, as I've been saying, twice a week, leaving 2 or 3 days in between. And rain is not in the forecast, so we are for a long, long time of watering by hand.
That's excellent. That's some great tips for this week for keeping our garden strong and growing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pablo. Tell us
nice
a bit more
here.
About Embark.
Yes, so Embark is a non-profit organization managed and directed by students, and we are based in the SFU student building. You can find us through our website, embarksustainability.org, or through our social media channels, hashtag embarksustain.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week, Pablo.
Yeah, see you next week.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
And we're back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Speak Up here on Monday morning. And Peter is here to talk about his encounter with...
Ezra, how do you say it? Ezra Levant?
Ezra Levant.
Well,
Ezra Levant. Leader, we'll call him that. Leader.
No. Pundit
on Rebel Media?
Well, that may be a name for him. He was a lawyer for about 2 years. I admitted I'm get involved with the anti-COVID vaccine stuff. So Tamara Leach had a fundraiser at the Seventh-day Adventist Church White Rock, or a book signing, or whatever it was.
And was she was one of the leaders of the convoy?
Well, she was a charge with, I forget the other person's name. She became high profile. It was sort of ad hoc. The whole Ottawa trucker convoy was kind of more of an ad hoc thing. She was, for whatever reason, she was seen as one of the quasi-organizers. But right. She has, Rebel News has picked up her legal expenses, and they also published a book by her. So I went over there to... the thing was, I don't have internet at home. It's hard for me to get these internet tickets. Well, I just said, I'm going to go there anyway, maybe sneak in free or whatever. But anyway, so, and I was unexpected. Ezra Levant was working the crowd as lined up.
Right.
And I didn't expect to see him, right? So I said to him, I said, I don't like the fact Conrad Black's involved with your organization. Because he was going to speak or tour with the other people going around. And Ezra Levant, who I'd seen him one time in person this time, and he's very unflappable. He goes, you weren't the first person who told me that.
Right.
Like, it was sort of like, oh, I hear your argument. And and then he kind of said, oh, he's a very interesting person. Mm-hmm. I said, no, you shouldn't. And Ezra, you have a chance, if you're hearing, to recant. Now, I'm going to say what the problem is with Rebel News having it shows their hypocrisy, because first of all, before he got placed in jail in the United States and all that, this guy is ultra establishment. Mm-hmm. This man went to Bilderberg conferences, now the World Economic Forum, which Rebel News goes outside of, but they're very critical of it. And the Bilderbergs are still going on the same sort of global networking. Conrad Black was going there, made friends with Henry Kissinger, and Kissinger stopped being his friend when all the legal troubles got a bit too much for him, and Henry sort of just said, "Well, I bombed Cambodia, and I'm leaving Conrad Black." He didn't say that, but, you know. It's the same thing, you know.
He bombed Cambodia, but fudging business stuff was too much. A line he wouldn't cross.
No, it was actually just a side note. Nixon was the one who gave the go-ahead. It was Henry Kissinger's idea. But I'm just saying that this Conrad Black is bad news. Mm-hmm. And they should, if Rebel News really had integrity, they should never have had, and they ought to apologize for any involvement they had. Because what Conrad Black did was defraud investors, people that had stock in the company, and he misused that.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have still be in jail somewhere, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, the thing about Conrad Black is that he is the establishment just forgoing him. He was ultra-establishment.
He was very much so.
Yeah, and
he got himself appointed to the House of Lords in the UK,
right.
Even.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I would have forgotten that, because that is outrageous. And Henry Kissinger helped him up with that, and Margaret Thatcher, and just really bad. And by the way, as a side note about the House of Lords, people, now they're saying, oh, we're getting other people now. But that you inherited a seat in the House of Lords in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still the case, even though they're trying to say, oh, it's based on merit now.
Yeah, they made some changes during the Blair labor years, but I don't remember the exact ones. But I believe up until then, it was primarily you got there by inheriting your father's seat. And it would always be your father because there's a whole, you know, aristocratic primogenitor thing in the UK.
No, there was a big rigmarole about, I think Conrad Black had to stop being Canadian to be in the House of Lords or something like this. But no, I mean, I have, it's interesting. There's things I do agree with Rebel News. But it's interesting that Ezra, who's Jewish, he has taken just the Israeli side. But before October 7th, the gang of them went to Israel, and they were like 2 miles away from the illegal settlements. And there's also a visual component to what. And one of them were like 2 miles away and said, oh, why are they saying there's problems? Because you're 2 miles away from the darn thing.
From actually seeing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, democracy now, I think, basically, as far as that goes. And Amy Goodman's Jewish, too, isn't she?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. But she just rightfully says Israeli military is not conducting itself properly. I mean, but Ezra, I don't know. He's kind of unflappable, as I said. I was hearing a bit of his talking to other people, but I had said my piece. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, they were kind of really big on defending people who were having trouble with the COVID restrictions and all that. Right. Whereas Democracy Now! Was sort of saying, oh, wear a mask and all this. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm a smorgasbord of both of them, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's more – some of this stuff, it's more interesting. I think a lot of people should maybe hear it if they haven't heard it. But there's certain things I don't agree with as such. Other things I do. Yeah. But you get sort of a more – I think if you hear a little – like if you hear the show coming up now, Democracy Now!, you get one perspective. And have you ever checked much on them over the years?
On Rebel News?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, not at all?
Not really.
Yeah. Oh. Not you didn't even see one little thing. You know about them.
I've seen stuff that comes up, but I don't go to their site and look for what
context do you know about them?
I see stuff posted, you know, in other social media and stuff from time to time.
And you never go to them? You never?
I look at the articles sometimes.
So what article did you check up on?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
I look at a lot of stuff, so I don't really remember specifically what I saw of theirs.
Well, the other thing I disagree on them, I forget them. Actually, I met him, another one of the Rebel News people, when Greta Thunberg came to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And David Menzies, I think. David Menzies I met, just incidentally. But he's really down on homeless people. Like, I don't – no, I'm serious. It's really bad. He sort of – there was a Toronto encampment, and I really don't – that's another thing with Rebel News. I don't agree with that. I mean, some other things I do – I can see their points, but I and other things, like, I don't. Anyway.
Right.
So we get after you hear Democracy Now!, maybe the viewers or listenership will go to Rebel News,
and then they should go to Fox News, and then they should go.
No, don't. You know what? Okay, I'm going to say something. Okay. He's better than all of them. Ezra Levant's better than Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, all of them. If you're going to hear that point of view, he's better than Fox News. Okay. Yeah. Like, he actually interviewed Glenn Beck and Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, Ezra, you're better than them because he's a journalist at least. He was a lawyer for 2 years, so he kind of – I mean, he gets stuff wrong, like with Conrad Black. He sure got that one wrong. But he has a bit of a background, and he's a lot better than Alex Jones or Glenn Beck.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time here on this episode of Speak Up. Thanks, Peter, for joining me today. Thanks also to Hannah Fraser from The Peak for joining us, and Connor Ashton for his interview with the SFU Pipe Band, and Pablo Vimas for Gardening with Embark. Democracy Now! Will be up in just a few moments at 11 o'clock. At 12 noon is coming Wandering Rhythms with Your World Music, and later on, typically Tuesdays at 3 o'clock, and coming live at 2 is Daniel, so stay tuned for that too.
Hi.